broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth podcast with Matt Sorensen and Mark Kohler. This is Matt Sorensen. Excited to be with you. We are recording on Halloween, baby.
That's right. Live on Halloween. And yeah, we're no party poopers. We pony when our staff says you have to dress up and we're having a potluck at lunch, we come to
there's a costume contest. By the way, there's a prize on the line today.
I have a feeling we're going to pay for that prize. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I might win it, so it might not cost us anything. But
cost me. Damn it. True. I'm in for half of that.
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm dressed up as. My costume is like from the 70s. I had one person say, "You look like a male gigolo." I was kind of going for like Saturday Night Fever type look, you know, yeah. A little Travolta. Mark, you're dressed up as
The Rock from Jumanji. A lot of people said.
Do you remember the character's name? Oh, what's the character's name?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. But I will say this: yeah, it was. Maybe people said you really didn't try that hard because they said you really, you know, except for the hair, you could pass for The Rock. And I said, well, I might as well just put on a safari shirt and just go for it. And
yeah,
I had to.
It's easy, you know. Yeah.
Here, let's create an alliance right now. If either one of us win the costume contest in the office today, mm-hmm. at lunch, we'll split the prize.
Okay, all right. This is like a Survivor, like we've just made an alliance, and let's not vote for, you know, let's anyone not else. Vote for Devin.
So yeah. There we go. All right. Well, we hope all of you are enjoying your Halloween, and thank you for catching this podcast, probably not on Halloween, and that's okay. We've got a great topic today, and this is that solo 401k topic that all of you as business owners, even having a business on the side, having a 401k at work and a 401k of your own, sky is the limit, people. So we're going to hit our frequently most asked questions when it comes to 401ks in our main portion of the show. So yeah. I think many of you are going to love it.
Yeah. And this is 401k season for many people. This is a lot of time, a lot of business owners, people self-employed are looking towards the end of the year. And it's like, hey, I want to do some tax planning. And that's right around the corner, right? We're starting to work with a lot of clients on year-end tax planning. This is one of the big items where you get a lot of tax savings is, what are you doing on your retirement plan? And a solo K is one where you can get a lot of tax savings. You can throw $55,000 a year there, which could be tax deductible. A few traditional dollars, you get a $55,000 tax deduction. That's huge. And so it's good for tax planning time. It's kind of solo K season, solo 401k season. It's like hunting season. You know, it's also solo 401k season. And yeah, the holidays are around the corner too.
So. It's all sorts of season. Football season, we got it all. And so for us geeks out there, this is 401k season. In November every year, we do a special, where we knock off, 20%,
$200.
$200. It's around 20%, round, yeah. Sorry, better say $200 off any type of, 401k type setup, which could include LLCs, maybe getting your S corp to sponsor the 401k. It's kind of a three package deal, whatever you need to get this launched in your life. So we're going to break that down, what the benefits are, the risks, the rewards, the costs, and really what this 401k is all about. And it's not about Wall Street, people. It's about investing in what you know the best and making money in a variety of ways. And it's so, so powerful. You would be shocked how many clients of ours that just 10 years ago had a couple hundred grand in their 401k and now they have millions. It is insane. Like, we're like, what are we doing here working in the office? We got to be out doing what these clients are doing. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But I just hate helping rich people. Ugh.
I know.
Sorry. For you rich clients listening, I didn't mean you. I'm just other rich people.
Yeah, that's the other ones. Yeah, yeah. We love you. Yeah. well, before we get into this topic, of course, as listener of the show, you know we like to give a tax and legal tip. And I'm kind of stoked, I guess. This
surfer swing. What would you say in the 70s that you're wearing a 70s? You're feeling groovy? Or is that
feeling more 60s? Groovy? Yeah, I guess. Groovy kind of seems like more Austin Powers 70-ish to me. Did they say that in the U.S.? Probably. I don't know. I was born in 1980, so.
You don't have been at, you know, I don't repertoire. Yeah.
I can't even say I was born in the 70s, so. But yeah. Whatever it is a radical tip. Oh, radical? All right, let me just give the legal tip. Can I just give the legal tip?
Get it over with, please. Take us out of our misery.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
Okay. This legal tip. Now, it takes a geek to appreciate this, but stay with me on this, okay? This deals with a new law being passed, and it's pretty cool. Okay. House of Representatives, our federal government, has passed a bill called Tax Cuts 2.0. So now it hasn't passed the Senate yet, but the president will definitely sign this baby. There's a super cool provision in this I wanted to let you guys know about.
Okay. And I want to just add a quick side note. As a geek, I'm already loving this and following you. Is many of you, obviously all of you following our show, know that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which was passed on December 31st, the big GOP Trump bill that was, you know, jammed through Congress at the last minute in December, this was the 2.0 of all the little things they remembered after the fact, and it was passed by the House in like February, March. Now it's languishing in the Senate, but this is going to pass.
This is repassed. This is a new version that came out, I want to say a month or two ago, about a month ago.
Yeah, yeah. It's been, okay. There's been a variety here. Sorry.
So. Yeah. So, but this bill has a lot of stuff in there about multi-employer plans and all these 401k things that frankly, corporate America cares about, but the everyday person doesn't really matter. But there's one cool thing in there for those of you who love Roth accounts, love the word tax-free.
I'm in.
Yeah. And who love to self-direct. Okay. This is the trifecta, baby.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone that makes at least $2,500 a year can put in $2,500 into what's called a universal savings account. Now, this universal savings account works like a Roth IRA. If I put $2,500 in it, I do not get a tax deduction. Sorry, no tax deduction. But the money grows tax-free when I invest it, just like with my Roth IRA. And I can self-direct it. I could buy real estate. I could buy crypto. I can invest in a
stock. But Matt, I have to wait till I'm 59 and a half.
Oh, no, my friend. Under a universal savings account. Under the universal savings account, you can pull the money out whenever the heck you want.
Whenever? There's
no, it's not considered a retirement account. It's considered a savings account. And so you can pull the money out whenever the heck you want. You don't have to wait till you're 59 and a half. Now you only get to throw $2,500 in a year. But let me say, the first $2,500 you make, you're a fool not to put it into a universal savings account. This is the one thing. You make money, you pay no tax, and you can take it out whenever the heck you want. There's no distribution penalties or rules or anything.
Oh, so, and guys, let me tell you the power of listening to the show. Matt Sorensen was in Washington, D.C. earlier this week for 2 days, and he had a high-powered Washington lawyer lobbyist break this down for Matt and pulled him this golden nugget that's sitting in this bill. And that's why you may go, well, why haven't you guys been talking about this? Because Matt Sorensen just found out.
Yeah. Well, this what? Even at the conference, I'll say this. He kind of threw that out as like 10 things that were in this bill. And honestly, the other 9 things were like, who the heck cares? But that one, I went and pulled the whole bill and read the thing to figure out, whoa, this is even better than he was explaining it to be. For me and what I do and a lot of our clients and those listening that love Roth IRAs, love the concept of tax-free, but also want to get that sweet perk of taking the money out whenever the heck you want, oh, this is going to be cool. So hopefully the Senate passes it. Like I said, it's already passed the House overwhelmingly. Trump's already said he'll sign the House's tax 2.0 bill. The Senate's got their own version. So we'll see where this gets. Hopefully it gets done. But very exciting. I'm going to be doing a blog article next week on it, where I'll kind of point out these details. But it's called Universal Savings Account. We'll be doing it directed IRA. By the way, once this thing passes, we're going to be the first in the subject.
This is what I'm excited about. This is the perfect college savings account. Period. Mm-hmm. Period.
Definitely.
Every one of your kids, by the time they're age 5 or 6, you should be paying them $2,500 a year to do all sorts of business work in your office, cleaning, emptying trash, shredding paper. $2,500. That first $2,500 goes into this account. That's the college savings account. Gross tax-free. You can invest in anything you want and then pull it out tax-free for college. Yeah. Holy crap.
Everything comes out tax-free. The contributions, the investment growth, everything comes back out tax-free. So super cool.
Oh my gosh, I love it. First thing I'm going to do is buy some crypto or gold or something crazy with my first account and then just sit on it. Then 20 years from now, it'll be worth like $10 million. So.
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe.
Who knows? Okay. Maybe. Well, Matt, thank you for sharing that amazing tip. I don't know if I can top it, but I'm going to try. Let's hit the tax tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. So on the tax tip side of things, the IRS also issued a notice 4 weeks ago on October 3rd. It is called the IRS Notice 2018-76. Now, I'm sure many of you were quick to open this in your email when you saw this notice come out and that you were like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been waiting for. So this is old news to many of you.
Oh, I read all the notices. I'm subscribed to get all the notices in my inbox. So
yeah.
I know what you mean.
Sorry, Matt. So this is not as exciting as Matt being at a luncheon in Washington, D.C. 2 days ago. But for those of you that haven't read all of your emails from the IRS this month, this is pretty cool. They have clarified the rules on dining. Now, many of you heard me and other accountants and lawyers around the country freaking out January, February, March, April, all early part this year, telling you and us figuring out that the dining expense when you ate with others was considered entertainment. And that's really what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act did. It killed dining with others because it was lumped into the entertainment expense. And so I told everybody, only go out to eat if you have to. Don't think it's a write-off every time you go. So some people are like, oh, it's on me. It's a write-off. Well, you know, slow down, Tiger. But so we were all a little apprehensive, concerned, cautious this first 10 months of the year. Well, the IRS finally, after major pressure from lobbyists and congressional input, said, you know what, we need a clarification here. We did not mean, oops, we screwed up in that bill. We did not mean that dining with a client, customer, prospect, employee, partner was not a write-off. As long as they have a substantive business conversation, it is still a write-off. However, if there is entertainment involved, you have to separately pay for the food from the entertainment. So at Topgolf, which works perfectly for this, you a lot of times put your card in the system for the golfing portion and you can pay for the food separately. You can ask to have that done. So the little example there maybe, but if you're at the spa and you're going to talk business with the prospect or your business partner, pay for the facials and the massages and the pedicures, whatever, separately, but have lunch on a separate tab. So the discussion, the meals are a write-off. 50%, yes, it is still cut in half by 50%, but we have clarification, folks, so you can go back to splurging. Go back and picking up the tab.
I like that.
All bets are off.
Good. That is a good tip.
Well, thank you, Matt.
That's good news. There's good news in there. I like that.
That's true. My tip was better than yours because mine is actual law. Yours is just still in sausage-making process. We don't know what it's going to look like.
That's true. It's looking delicious right now. So
yeah.
Very tasty.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody for letting us try to ham up very boring. We're trying to, you know, keep the sex.
We're hamming up revenue rulings, tax bills, languishing through Congress. You know, why are you listening to this show?
I know. Guys, but look, we're doing the dirty work for you. Matt is going to the most boring conference in the country.
It wasn't a luncheon, Mark. It was a 2-day conference.
Okay. Ugh, you just would. you know, this is like Steve Martin talking to John Candy going, this is like being in the worst insurance seminar in the world, and I'm just listening to you on the plane and you know, an air train, planes, trains, automobiles. But I mean, yeah, so Matt took one for the team, for all of us, to get this one golden nugget. And then me, look, I'm reading IRS notices for you. You don't want to do that. I do it for you. And then I spit it back out in layman's terms. So you, that's why you listen to the show, because we're going to keep it real, cut through all the crap you don't need to know. And what's going to help you as a small business owner, real estate investor in this country, bam.
Yeah.
Matt, that's what the show's about.
I like it. Amen, brother.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's get in the topic today. For those of you out there self-employed, looking to be self-employed, how do I save for retirement? We want to make sure you know about the solo 401k, what your options are. And Mark, I don't know. I think we're just going to go through like the common questions people get to try and frame this, because I think that's the best way to walk through this topic, is just like, you know, like, okay, who does it work for?
Like, I like it.
Can I, who can do a solo 401k? Yeah.
Well, let's do
everybody, or, you know, like,
yeah, let's make an assumption right off the bat. And then Matt, I'll let you pose the first question, very general one. And then we're going to get more and more complex as the show proceeds. So here's a general assumption. And I want to ask all of you, if sometimes you get on for the tax and legal tip and then you drop off and you don't want to hear the 401k thing. Okay, hold on. The general assumption that we want to press on all of you is, please be saving more. We as Americans are not typically great savers. I'll be honest. I need to be a better saver. I want to be a better saver. I'm trying to pass that legacy on to my kids. I need to save more. Now, that takes the form of many things. We talk about buying one rental property a year, or even partnering with someone on one rental a year, having a diverse portfolio. Maybe you're looking at other types of investments, including raw land, notes, types of currency, precious metals. We get it. But one of those pieces should be a tax-deferred savings account of some sort, whether it's an IRA, a Roth, a 401k, something like that, where you're putting money away and then turning around and investing in what you know best. We'll talk about self-directing a 401k today. Mm-hmm. But I think the general premise, Matt, isn't it? That's the message. That's why you're listening to the show. Is you need to know what's going on with the 401k, because it's got to be one of the tools in your toolbox.
Absolutely. And if you look at it, I mean, it's the number one thing people use to live off of in retirement. And we know your resources, you know, your earning power, you want to stop working it someday. And that's what these retirement plans are built for. It's for the long haul. It's a way for you to save, put it away, let it grow, take the power of that time and the accumulation and reinvestment of capital. You're not paying taxes on it. Every dollar gets reinvested and reinvested and reinvested. I love that. And I think everybody's on board with that. I mean, 99 out of 100 people are on board with that.
At least in concept, if we're all kind of suck at it.
Right. Yeah. Even though, making the decision of, do I put this, $5,000 into a cool vacation, or, or do I throw it into my retirement account? So,
Matt, that's a good example of that too. So many people are like, do we go on a cruise? Do we go on this trip? Or do I put a little bit more money in my retirement account? And what I tell everybody is, do both. Tone down the vacation a little.
Yeah.
And put a little in retirement account. It's not one or the other. Try to get together with who. Now, if you're flying solo, that decision's a little easier to make. If you're in a marriage, a partnership, it can be tough, because both of you have a different perspective on savings. And so really work through it with your marriage counselor. Nice. We'll have you on the show. We'll highlight you on the show. We'll get both of you on the show. We'll work through it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Matt, so first question, I'm going to pose it to you.
Okay. All right.
You can pose one at me. Let's try to stump each other here. Okay. As Car Talk would say, stump the chump, love those guys. A common question I get is, who even qualifies for a 401k? So, and I'm going to add the writer, when does it make sense? Who can qualify and when does it make sense for this solo 401k?
Go ahead. Okay. First rule, you've got to be self-employed. Okay. The 401k.
But can I have a day job? But I'm going to say before you go
Okay. Yes, you can have a day job. You can have a night job. You can have a morning job. You can have a weekend job. Okay. You just got to have some self-employment somewhere. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
There's someplace you're self-employed. And this could be your full-time business. Maybe you're a real estate broker or agent. We have a lot of clients that do that, that use a solo K. Maybe you're a real estate investor. You flip houses. Maybe you're a contractor. Maybe you're a 1099 salesperson or consultant. You know, those are all self-employment activities that I may have an S corp for, or maybe I'm even a sole prop. It's on Schedule C on my personal return. Those items are all self-employment. You are self-employed. You can set up a 401k. Now, here's an important point. Businesses set up 401ks, right? Like if I work at Microsoft and I'm an employee at Microsoft, I don't set up a 401k. Microsoft set up a 401k for its employees and I get to participate as an employee. Same thing, Dunder Mifflin, you know? Okay. If I work at Dunder Mifflin, Dunder Mifflin has a 401k. They're the employer. I walk down to Toby in HR and I fill out my paperwork. I get an account in the 401k. So if you're going to set up a 401k, you personally don't set it up. Your business adopts it for the benefit of you because you're such a great employee and you get an account in the 401k. So because you're self-employed, you've got a business somewhere, that business is going to adopt the 401k for you.
Okay. Now you answered first part of that question. Let me, if I may, my fine sir, take the second half of my question that I posed to you. So our poor listeners don't get too much of me or you. When is it a good fit? I think it's a great fit when you want to, there's two options here. The first one is when you want to contribute more than what your Roth IRA, maybe this new USA account, the new, your traditional IRA. If you want to put away $10,000 or more a year, you really want to sock some money away. That's reason one of when you want to do a 401k. Reason two is maybe you have an old 401k, some old IRA money, and you want to roll it into a 401k so that you can borrow against it. So you could avoid what's called UDFI, meaning your 401k could borrow or get a mortgage to buy real estate, where an IRA might have to pay an additional tax to do that. So I think the 401k opens more doors for you if you're a self-directing type investor, or the 401k is going to open more of the wallet for you to put more money in. Mm. And that's when it makes sense generally. Do you want to add to that at all? Does it make sense in other scenarios?
The other really common group of people are those who just want to self-direct. You've got a little small business on the side that you have some activity in, or maybe you're even in retirement and you're doing a little consulting on the side. You got some 1099 income somewhere. So you got some business. We can adopt a solo K, and you're rolling over other IRA or prior 401k dollars into this solo K, and you just want to self-direct it out of a solo K. You like the perks of the solo K for making investments, doing the loan out you talked about if you needed to yourself. You like having control of it and being the trustee of it, which you can do in a solo K we'll talk about. You like investing in real estate and not having UDFI tax, which IRAs can have if you self-direct. And there's some cool perks in the self-directing side on doing a solo K also.
Okay, now I want to highlight this. This evolves to question number two, maybe on our list here. And I've already got a yellow pad going with some questions here. A lot of clients say, well, can't I borrow from my IRA? But you mean I can borrow from a 401k, even a 401k sponsored by my own business? Yes, you can borrow up to 50% or $50,000. One example, we've got a client and he's a regular listener of our show, so I'm going to be very discreet about even his occupation, but he was moving this fall to Atlanta. And he said, Mark, I'm starting this business in Atlanta. And he goes, I need around $50,000 to start this business. And I said, okay. And he immediately he said, I've got money in an IRA. What can I do? And he already knew where I was going with it. Sharp guy. And I said, let's get your 401k set up for you in your small business that isn't even profitable right now. It's a small business on the side, which is fine. I said, let's let that small business start a 401k, even if you're not going to contribute to it, and then roll your IRA money into it, and you can borrow $50,000. We'll have it done within 2 weeks. You're off to the races. Let's get this done. He's like, perfect. Pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. And he got in on our special this month, saved a couple hundred bucks there, and we're working on it. So anyway, I mean, that's an example of how you could quickly tap into it. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. You know, I'll just give another example. I think they're really helpful to be illustrative. I had this self-directed client that was kind of, you know, retired basically from corporate America, built up a 401k with about $500,000, $600,000 in it, looked at doing an IRA, but liked the solo K because he could get the checkbook control right out of the solo K, was in California, didn't want to do an LLC and have to pay the $800 a year there. And, but he had some 1099 income. So he had this little sole prop business. You adopt the solo K, rolls over all that 500 grand from the prior employer. Okay. And he just does hard money lending out of it. And he's made huge returns on it. He's done very well, turned this into a really big solo K account. But that's another good example of someone. And so there's a lot of ways and angles people come at this, from wanting the tax deductions. A lot of people just want to throw more money in than an IRA, like you said, Mark, getting the access to loan the money out, to just self-directing, to having checkbook control right out of the solo K without an LLC. And, you know, lots of cool benefits of why people go that route.
Now, I love it. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Who doesn't it work for, though?
Oh, okay. I was going to pose you a quick before you go hardcore,
Let's
do a couple other base hits here. How much, Matt, I'll pose it to you. How much can I put in a 401k this year?
Okay.
That's a common question I get.
The max you can do is 55,000. If you're over 50, you get an extra six. So you can do 61,000. Okay. Now, if you're husband and wife, let's say you got an S corp, you both got W-2s, you could both throw in 55,000, 110 grand each. And you could do that all traditional if you were chasing tax deductions and get a $110,000 tax deduction.
Isn't that crazy? And now we're an example of this. I have clients that are like, hey, I got my day job. We're doing a little rehab on the side and we're doing some real estate. We might do two flips this year and make 150 grand on these two flips. Mm-hmm. We don't want to pay tax on it. You could drop that entire profit from the two rehabs into a 401k. Insane.
Yeah.
Now, okay, but I want to add a rider here. Not everybody is going to put in $55,000. In fact, the sweet spot generally for most of our clients is to do $18,500 plus 25% of your payroll. So we're going to target that payroll. This is why this is such a huge topic in November and December. This is why it's 401k season, is we're going to find the perfect contribution amount for you. Mm-hmm. If you're doing, say, a $20,000 payroll, you can do 18.5 plus 25% of your payroll. So there's another five. So you're actually putting more in your 401k than you even took in payroll. Now, if you're doing a $40,000 payroll, because the Kohler payroll matrix tells you got to be around 40, well, you could do 25% of that, which is 10 grand, plus defer 18.5 out of your W-2. Mm-hmm. So now you're putting 28,500. So anyway, the point is, we don't want to let the tax tail wag the dog. If you really want a write-off of $110,000, like Matt said, you're going to have to take a substantial payroll to get there. But if you want to keep your payroll as low as possible and then max out the 401k, that's fine too. There's different angles to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing on the contributions I was going to say too is, don't think like your 401k, like you got to have it withheld on your paycheck every 2 weeks, you know, and all this and all these other rules you may have had in a prior 401k to prior employer. Just throw it in at once if you want. You can do it in one. A lot of solo K clients just throw it, dump it all in once.
Oh, okay.
And so they just drop it all in one pop and it's in there, it's done. You make the contribution.
Okay, Matt, I love it. What are the contribution deadlines for something like that? That's a common question I get.
This is a complicated answer. There's two things to know. First, you have to have the plan set up within the tax year. So if you want to make 2018 contributions, you got to have this sucker set up by December 31st, 2018.
Yeah, not calling us on December 30th isn't going to work, people.
Yeah, the reason we do a special in November is we're trying to get all of you done in November. So in December, we can deal with all the late people who we're not going to give a special deal to because you're running it at the last minute, trying to get it done and stressing our staff out and yourself out. And, you know, so, and we'll do it. You know, we can help you in December. But anyways, so you got to have it set up by the end of the year. Now, as long as it's set up by the end of the year, you've bought yourself some time to actually make the contribution. I've got a blog article on my blog about timing deadlines for solo 401k contributions. There's a couple things going on here. The first thing is You have to make for employee and employer contributions, the contribution deadline is the tax return deadline plus extensions. So you could really be into like September. Of next year, making your 2018 contribution deadlines. Now there's one caveat to this. If you're an S corp or even a C corp and you get a W-2, your employee contribution needs to be on the W-2, which is due like January 31st. Yeah. Now you don't have to actually put it in. So what you could do if you haven't put the employee part in yet is you could put it on the W-2 that I'm what you're going to put in and better make sure you actually put that in. And then, but then you have until the tax return deadline plus extensions to actually put it in.
Yeah. Now, some of you purists out there and geeks listening will go, whoa, whoa, whoa. The contribution money has to be in by January 31st with a 401k. You guys are crazy. This is heresy. You can't say that. Well, for group 401ks, mm-hmm. that is the rule because they don't want employers holding on to their employees' money after exactly. January 31st. Because what do employers end up doing with that typically? Losing it, screwing it up. So they do not let group employers do that. But with solo 401ks, hey, you screw yourself over, you're the one that's going to pay the penalty and you're going to want to have some problems. So there's no employee that could be a collateral damage per se.
Right.
So that's why you have longer.
Yep, exactly right. Okay, let's go back to my earlier question, though.
Yes, sir.
Of who does this not work for? Okay. Like, who cannot do a solo 401k?
Okay.
Now, the first... Yeah,
let's go.
That was an awkward pause there. That was for you, but I'll go. I got you.
I was like, do I get to answer that? All right, okay.
Okay, I'll go. I'll go.
That was parenthetical for me, apparently.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, okay. If you're not self-employed.
That was like my wife going, why are there socks on the floor in our bedroom? Now, I'm not supposed to answer that, but there is an awkward pause. And then she's going to tell me why there are socks on the floor in our bedroom. She was prepared to give the answer and pose the question. So
yes.
That awkward pause had a
reason. I didn't mean to throw you off there. You know, okay. So we've all been there, man. Okay. Who does it not work for? You're not self-employed. Okay. A lot of people, a lot of our self-directed clients in particular are like, well, should I do a solo 401k? Are you self-employed? No. And then you don't even have a choice. Don't just do a self-directed IRA. Yeah. And so the solo 401k is not for everybody, but it is for those who are self-employed. Now the next one, if you have employees, if you've got employees, the solo 401k doesn't work. Now, your employees could be you, spouse, kids, partners. That's all okay. But if you have got employees who are not owners or not family, spouses and kids in particular, of an owner, the solo K doesn't work.
Okay. I like it. Let me add one where you think it doesn't work, but we can make it work. So let me make a twist here. A lot of people go, well, I don't have a business, but I have a bunch of rental property. And your financial advisor or, you know, even some of our freshman type advisors here at our office will go, well, you can't have a 401k with passive income. Sorry.
Yeah.
But we call it the backdoor 401k is that your real estate passive investment business can pay you a management fee to manage your own real estate, thereby creating a small business through the revenue you're generating with your rental property. Now, there is no reason in the world to do that, except for this purpose. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you'll go to a seminar and they'll be like, oh, set up a C corp to manage your own rental properties. Bull crap. Waste of money, waste of asset protection time. They're trying to sell you something. But if you're setting up a management company to manage your rentals so you can create a 401k, game on.
Mm-hmm. Game on. I like it. And it's going to even be just a sole proprietorship. You know, your rental property business, which is this investment income. Investment income, by the way, does not count to contribute to a solo K. So like that's what Mark's talking about here with the rentals. You pay the management fee. Now it's ordinary income. Now it's like business income, ordinary income in your sole prop, or you could even have an S corp if you got that somewhere else. But in the sole props, but the easiest example in this scenario. Now that sole prop adopts the solo K. Love it.
I love it.
Okay.
I got one. Okay, I'll pose it to you.
Okay.
No awkward pause. Be ready. Right, I'm going to throw it. This is underhand softball. So you're going to see this one coming.
Okay.
Slow pitch softball. You know, softball is always slow underhand.
Pitch. Not fast pitch.
Not fast pitch. Yeah.
I've watched the women's college World Series softball. Those pitches. I'd be jumping out of the batter's box, man. Yeah, I would come in hot.
Yeah, they are. All right. So here's what a question I get is, well, Mark, I saw a solo 401k online for free. Why don't I just do that? Why am I going to call and pay you guys? What makes our 401k different than that online free 401k?
Great question. I'm glad you asked, Mark. Okay. That online 401k is only going to work when you're using that company to buy and sell stock.
Oh, you mean Scott Trade isn't going to let me self-direct?
No. Scott Trade's going to say, all right, congratulations, you've got a 401k with us. What can I charge you to buy? Or I'll get a commission now. Okay. So that's how they get you. And that's okay. If you're sitting there thinking, guys, I'm a stock wizard. I'm a genius at buying and selling stock.
Day trading.
I'm great at it. I'm self-employed. Do that. That's the solo K for you then. You don't need ours. Ours you're going to pay too much for. But if you want to really self-direct, which most of our clients do, then that Scott Trade or E-Trade or Edward Jones solo K product isn't going to work for you because you're captive to them. You can only buy and sell stock. You can't manage a bank account with it. You know, and that's a big thing for our solo K, I'll say. Our solo K, you're trustee of it, which means you can sign for everything. You sign on the bank account. You'll have a bank checking account in the name of the solo K. We got banking contacts that set up these solo K accounts. You can use your own bank if you want, or you can use ours that know what the heck they're doing. And you're the signer on it. You're trustee. You're doing deals right out of the solo K bank account. It's awesome. And you can buy real estate, notes, small businesses, startups, crypto, precious metals, whatever you like.
Yeah. And I, you know, Matt, one side note, I don't like the way you said that. You said, well, then you're going to pay too much for our 401k. Oh, no. You're going to pay Scott Trade a lot too,
but that's in a different
way. In a different way. So let's give the example. It's Scott Trade that's zero to set up, but they're going to kill you with fees and you're going to buy products that they can make a commission on. Over time, you're certainly going to pay for that freaking 401k. Go read Warren Buffett's book or Tony Robbins' book. Tony Robbins,
he'll explain to you how you get nickel and dimed on that to death. Yeah,
and he quotes
the death of a thousand cuts.
Death of a thousand cuts. I love it. Now, on our end, you're going to pay $1,000 up front or more, depending on what time of year you give us a call. But our special this month is $999 essentially for your basic 401k.
No, it's $995.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me, my fine sir. But the annual fee is like $350 a year. So, there's no commissions. No, you do run the show. It's all yours, baby. So in the long run, if you're self-directing, the fees are far, far less because you just pay it up front. It's your 401k. We gave you the keys to the car. Take it out of the garage. It's all yours. Where Scott Trade says, nah, you got to park that car back in our garage every night and you got to pay us to drive it. So,
I like that. I like that. That was off the cuff.
Like
a rental. You know, your solo K is it's a rental.
Yeah.
That's what your solo K E-Trade is. It's a rental.
Yeah, that's right. Every time you plug, pay to go.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what's involved? What are the documents? What do I get in a solo K?
Okay. Well, we're going to be doing a box opening. You'll see it on our YouTube and our website here next week of the box that you get. It's kind of cool. During our special, you get a copy of Matt's new book, second edition SDIRA handbook with chapters on the 401k. And you get my newest book, The Business Owner's Guide to Financial Freedom, which has a major section on 401k planning and self-directing as well. So you get a couple books, you get this binder, and it has all the tabs and sections to manage your own 401k. And this is where Tony Robbins in his book really cleverly rips apart the 401k fees that Wall Street is so adept at hiding. They'll hide all these fees and management fees, commission fees, TPA fees, that's what they're holding captive for you is that binder. They are the one in control of the 401k. You just get to play under their rules. under your 401k, you get this binder. You can write out literally the loan documents to loan yourself money. Now, I will say this, and because there's naysayers out there on the call right now listening that are saying, Mark, that's totally ridiculous. You should not be doing that. And I've had people call me and go, you're literally giving a loaded gun to a kid. Yeah, because you can screw up this 401k. So I think this does come with a word of caution that you have to know what the hell you're doing. You're going to get a consult with a real lawyer when you do a 401k with us.
Yeah.
And this is your chance to freaking understand that this is a loaded gun and you can screw it up. So be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to solo K responsibly.
You know, oh, wow. Man, we're just full of it today. That was a good one.
So here's the thing is.
Drive that solo K out of the garage responsibly.
Yes, exactly.
No drinking and driving with your 401k.
That's right. Oh, and now here's the thing with ours that's different too, and is it's also included an attorney consult. When you set up a solo K, we're going to do an attorney consult. We want to make sure you understand what it is, how it works, that it works in your situation, and that so you have that time to go over it with the attorney. Now, also the binder you get, and I get questions with clients set up solo Ks all the time, and 99 of 100 questions are in your binder. Like, I've already gotten these questions many, many times. So we made a binder and we put it in there in sections so you could find it and say, oh, what do I do with my bank account? How do I set that up? What? How do I separate that? Do I need a separate bank account for me? Oh, I want to set up an account for my wife. Do I put that in a separate bank account? Yeah, how do I do that? Oh, I got a section on that. So we give you a lot of resources too. Some forms, common forms to use, just even transferring the money. Let's say I want to transfer the money from, I have an IRA at Fidelity. And I, or a prior 401k at Vanguard, I need to transfer it to my solo K. How do I do that? I got a section on that and we got a form for you to use that's already in there. Use it. So we give you a lot of resources to help you be successful too.
Okay. Now you opened up one of my other frequently asked questions on my yellow pad here with your comment. Also, I do need to give a disclaimer that if I am a little, you know, stuttery today is because I'm having to watch Matt on this webcam wearing a gold chain. And it's a little distracting, I have to say. I can't, it's hard to focus with that silk 1970 gigolo shirt and a gold chain. Okay, what we're going to do, I think we need to do this in fairness to everybody else so they can suffer through this radio show too, is we are going to take a picture of our podcast today and put it on Refresh Your Wealth. And this will be our Halloween podcast photo. Are you going to put on your wig for this too?
I don't have a wig.
You know? I thought you were. Oh, you're not wearing a wig? Oh, that's awkward. Sorry about that.
Oh, I look bad on this. I mean, okay.
Okay. We'll pose for the pic here at the end of the show. All right. Okay. So here's another frequently asked question that you opened the door to. Well, does a solo 401k mean that I can be the only one in the 401k, me, the business owner? Oh, no. Solo actually means that you can be in the plan. You can roll over old IRA money or old 401k money as well. Your spouse can be on the plan, roll over his or her old money and contribute. Your children can be in the solo 401k if they are listed as W-2 wage earners in the business. Mm-hmm. And your business partners. So if we adopt a 401k at the LLC level as a solo 401k, the partner can also be a contributor. Now, that's not as typical. We don't like that because, well, hold up, Matt. Could I have my own W-2 and my S-Corp and your own W-2 and your S-Corp? We have an adopted 401k at the LLC. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we do it. It's called an affiliated group. I'm doing one right now, actually. It's a little tricky. Yeah, it's a little tricky. And you have options. You could actually do each your own separate solo care. You could do one. If you guys are really committed to being together for a long time, you could just do one in that partnership. And have those S-Corps as affiliated employers that could also contribute to it where you're doing your payroll probably. So,
wow, I love that. I learned something new today.
There you go.
So
there
we can.
I'm doing it for a client right now. Actually, we just had to confirm that structure and set up in our doc system. Okay. And we actually consulted our own ERISA lawyers on that for our plan documents.
Okay, let me repeat this for everybody of what that I just learned here, which is a big deal. So let's say I have my own S-Corp and I want to do a 401k. That's cool. Me, my spouse, whatever, maybe some kids, college students, whatever. We're going to play in the 401k. Cool. Roll over old money. Mm-hmm. Oh, but Matt's over there. He wants to do the same thing. He's got an S-Corp. but we're going to partner in our business in fix and flips and rehabs. We're going to partner on a storefront retail business. We're going to partner on an internet-based affiliate marketing program. Well, we set up an LLC. Now, that's a common structure that everybody, if you've listened to our show or had dealings with us at our workshops and our books over the years, you will know that we're not going to set up a new S-Corp for Matt and I. We're going to form an LLC as a partnership. His S-Corp will be a partner. My S-Corp will be a partner. But now I used to think that I had to go set up my own 401k. You'd have to go set up your own 401k. We can actually save money, adopt a partnership 401k. Where now, again, we don't have other employees, just family members or employees at each one of our S-Corp levels. But we can have an affiliated group 401k at the LLC level and our own S-Corps process our own payroll levels as we may choose to do.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Yep. Pretty cool, huh?
You know, this show was worth it for me now.
All right. Okay. Well, let me give a couple others here. What about you Roth lovers out there?
Oh,
we have a lot of clients that love Roth accounts, and I'm in your camp, baby. So you can do Roth 401k money too. So I can contribute. If I want to start doing new contributions, I can do Roth 401k dollars for my employee contribution of $18,500 a year. And even the employer contribution where Mark mentioned earlier, you can put in 25% of what you've made. Also is the employer contribution. Now that goes in as traditional, but I could convert that to Roth also. So it's possible I could even throw in $55,000 a year as Roth, do an employee Roth contribution, and then an employer traditional contribution to Roth. So that's cool. You can do Roth dollars. Now, one little caveat though, one little, you know, like a flaw, I should say, is if you have Roth IRA dollars already, those will always be Roth IRAs. Roth IRAs always stay as Roth IRAs. You can't roll your Roth IRA into the 401k, even if you have a Roth 401k account. You can do that with all of other types of accounts, traditional 401ks, you know, traditional IRAs can roll into the solo K. It's just a Roth IRA for whatever dumb reason. Doesn't go into a Roth 401k.
Okay. I like it. All right. Now, Matt, you just said something there. I like that. And I'm Googling this right now. You said, for all you Roth lovers out there, I'm in your camp, baby. And I thought, you know, is baby kind of a 70s term? Were you throwing down something? Oh. And so I looked up groovy baby. Groovy baby. And I'm trying to see if that would qualify as a, it does. It qualifies as a 1970s slang term. Groovy baby, meaning that hotness, something is cool.
Can you dig it?
Oh, and there's an alternative meaning. Groovy baby means good job, baby, or that's a good idea. And a third version means groovy means great or fantastic. So, Matt, I just want to make sure that you know that your slang term used was both qualifies as a Halloween costume term.
Okay.
And it meant that the Roth 401k was possible. So I will verify that your statement is accurate.
Okay. All right. Well, this one to the judges, folks. It's been fun. Can you dig it?
Can you dig it? All right.
I got to get a few lines down with the costume, you know?
Yeah.
By the way, you got to learn some lines from the movie. You got some lines from the movie?
Oh, okay.
Jumanji, you got to get that down before the costume contest.
Yeah, I better.
We're in on the bet together. So
I've got to carry my weight.
You to be your best. You got to be on your game.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. Okay. Now, we're screwing around here too much. One final question, Matt. You said you had the Roth 401k.
Yeah.
You can have
Roth.
I like to look at as people, the way I kind of, as a way to explain this, think of the 401k like a honeycomb. A 401k is a honeycomb where you can have different cells in there. You can have Roth money, you can have traditional money, you can have rollover money, you can have new money.
Spouse has a cell, yeah.
Yeah, your spouse has a cell, your partner has a cell, your kids have a cell. So if you look at this 401k like a honeycomb, now you control the checkbook for that entire honeycomb. But the accounting burden is that you've got to have a good QuickBooks account, and then each a category or class of that 401k is a different piece of the honeycomb for the different account holders.
And we do tell you too, for each one of those cells also, we want a separate bank account. Now you can be signer on all of it, but let's say it's me and my wife, or even my traditional dollars and my Roth dollars. I'm going to have a separate bank account for each different source of funds. So my wife's account is going to be in a separate bank account under the solo K's name. I can be signer on it. She can be co-trustee if she wants and be a signer. And even my traditional dollars and my Roth dollars, I'm going to have in a separate bank account.
Now, what if I want to invest together with my wife though? Can we use one account to do it, but track the returns as a group?
Let's say into like an LLC, are you talking about?
Yes, that's what I was alluding to. So whenever okay. you want to group money in a 401k, yes. and this is where people ask the question, where does an LLC fit in this mix? Can I get away from an LLC when I go to a 401k? Because I had an IRA LLC. Now I go to a 401k, I don't need an LLC.
Right. Is that the case? Yes. Now when you do an LLC with an IRA, you're getting a couple things. You're getting some asset protection. You're getting the ease of an LLC, which, you know, anytime you're making investments, people know what the heck an LLC is. And you're getting checkbook control. You know, you have authority now in the checkbook where your IRA custodian didn't let you have that.
And you can pool money. You could pool multiple IRAs into one LLC.
Exactly right. Now in a 401k LLC structure, in a 401k, I have checkbook control already. So I don't need it just for checkbook control. So let's say I'm doing notes. Like I just did a call this morning. Client wants to do a solo K. She's like, I'm just going to do some notes. Do I need an LLC? No, you don't need an LLC. You're just your solo K is going to be the lender on this. You're just using your funds. Just have your solo K be the lender on the notes, and then they'll pay you back in the solo K. No need for an LLC. Now, let's say, however, she was like, well, I'm going to go buy a property and flip it. Okay. Or maybe it's going to be a property that's going to be a rental. We want an LLC there, not just for checkbook control. You already have that in the solo K. We want that for asset protection. Mm-hmm. Or, as Mark said too, let's say you want to partner funds together. You've got your 401k account funds, your spouse's funds, your Roth funds, and your traditional funds, or even you're bringing in an outside partner. We want an LLC for that to break up those funds and that ownership percentages. That's the best way to do it. Yep. Another reason to consider the LLC.
Okay, and let's finish with that. On that note, I will say in our packages, when you reach out to us, if you do, to set up a 401k, you can contact our main office. We'll have some links on our newsletter during the month of November. The person to talk to at our office is Ruth. If you want to call in and talk to Ruth, she will email you an application and it'll have options on it. It's going to have package A, B, or C. One of those packages is that we discounted is the 401k LLC combo. If you already know you need the LLC, you're going to group money. You want to have that layer of protection. You're going to do a unique investment out of the 401k and the LLC just makes more sense. Then cool, we've got a package for that. It's discounted and $200 off. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to foresee some of those different scenarios. And folks, we got your back. Now, Matt, did you notice how that door opened behind me during?
I did. It was kind of creeping me out there. I got a little distracted.
Okay. See, this is the Halloween piece of our show. Okay. So this is spooky. Now, many of you don't know this maybe. Now, I'm not screwing around here. See, we're in a building here on Main Street America in this little Idaho town that 100 years ago, it's a 100-year-old building. A dentist and a doctor opened this office. And the doctor died like 10 years later. The dentist lived on for about 20 years later. And then they shut the doors to this little Main Street second floor. No one was in here for almost 50 years till I walked in and said, oh my gosh, I smell remodel. And I love this kind of, you know, and it's kind of like a, it's sweet. So, when we came in here, we kept the original floors, the doors, a lot of the walls. We try to keep everything as original. On my door, it says operating room.
Operating room.
This is where I perform a lot of colonoscopies. It's not comfortable, but people feel a lot financially better after their colonoscopy. But anyway, but the people downstairs within weeks of us moving in said, hey, have you experienced the ghost yet? And I go, what do you mean the ghost? They're like, oh, this place is haunted. And we were like, really? And then all of a sudden we started to notice things. Like I was in here working late one night, the water in the bathroom just turned on. I walk in there, I'm like, why is water on? Turned it off. People at night say, we hear people walking around in the middle of the night. This is, I'm going to get ghost hunters in here. So anyway, during the radio show, Matt witnessed it. This door just slowly swung open. It happens all the time around here, Matt, but it's Halloween. So we're expecting a little, you know, more crazy instances and,
wow.
Yeah, I believe in ghosts and Bigfoot. So you have to be a believer. Things happen when you're a believer, you know.
Okay. So I did see that door open and it was like no one walked through.
I'm saying.
I'm wondering if there's someone on the other side and just messing with me, though. I don't know.
It doesn't freak me out anymore. I'm just used to it.
Okay. This is Casper. No big deal. It's just a friendly ghost.
I don't know if someone died in this operating room because I'm looking here at this floor and it could be very eerie, but we're going to find out. We're going to get someone on the case.
Yeah. So. Maybe it's that doctor, you know? Maybe it's that doctor.
Yeah, maybe he died here, had a heart attack. Could be, you never know. Okay, well, folks, this concludes. See, look, you got a little of everything. You got some stupid jokes. We got our, you know, Matt's references to the 70s. We got we got a little spookiness here, a real-life spooky incident on camera, on video. And
yeah. Now, let me say just where to go. I wanted to say, because we got a lot of stuff going on. You know, you got the law firm. You can call us there. Obviously, we'll direct you. We got directed IRA, doing our self-directed IRAs now. But for solo Ks, this is out of our company, Navigator. We've been doing it for years. We've set up hundreds of them for clients. If you go to navbrs.com, it's linked on at the bottom of all the websites on our affiliated sites. That's the place to go. We've got more resources there.
Let's repeat that. NAVBRS, which stands for Navigator Business Retirement Solutions.
Yeah. .com services. .com. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a 1-hour webinar too that we did a while back. It's got a couple years old for contribution roles, but it's the same process and content. If you want to get a little more in depth on this and see the slides, and of course all the contact information's there. We'd be happy to help you. $200 off
down here in your iTunes or Stitcher description. There'll be a link here to the website and to the law firm, but thanks everybody. And Matt, since you brought us in, I'll take us out. How's that sound? Is that all right with you?
I can dig it.
Okay, the music's rolling now. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the annual live Halloween special show, Refresh Your Wealth, keeping it real, trying to help you live your dream. Don't give up. Keep working hard. And please share the show. Give us a 5-star. We love you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.